message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Can I hear your loudest amen? If you know that God is going to bless you and is going to surprise you tonight, say a big amen. We have been looking at our series on a new beginning, and tonight we'll be looking at essentials for a new beginning. We'll be looking at some vital things that are very crucial for a man and a woman to assess a new beginning. Is somebody ready tonight? If you are ready, then let's go. There are some major secrets or some major things that we call essentials. When we say something is essential, we mean it is important to be able to give us a new beginning in life. And today we'll be looking at several of them that are very important to launch us into a new realm of life, into a new season in life. And I see somebody entering into a new season that is beneficial to you and your family in Jesus' name. Number one essential for a new beginning that we'll be looking at tonight is be decisive. Be a decisive person. Indecision is the bait of stagnation. Indecision causes frustration and devastation. Anywhere you see indecision, you will see his friends, stagnation, frustration, and devastation. None of this shall be your portion in Jesus' name. Indecision always destroys destiny. It is decisiveness that bats greatness. Until you are ready to make a decision or take a decision, you remain on the same spot. Until you are ready to take a decision that will bring about a change of level for you, nothing changes. It is your choice that determines your lot in life. And life is principally about choices. In Genesis 49 from verse 1, Bible was talking about Jacob blessing his sons, and his firstborn called Reuben took a decision to lie or to lay with his father's concubine. Here's chapter 49 verse 1 to 4. And the father was talking about him in verse 2. Gather yourself together and hear ye sons of Jacob and hearken unto Israel your father. Verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. But in verse 4, Bible says, unstable as water thou shalt not excel, because thou went up to thy father's bed and devoured it. He went up to my couch. Reuben took a decision, and that decision ruined his life. That decision brought a curse upon him. And Joseph was also faced with exactly the same thing. In Genesis 39, from verse 7 to 8, Bible says that Potiphar's wife was pursuing him. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused. That's the decision. That's the difference between the life of Reuben and the life of Joseph. Reuben accepted. Joseph refused. If you are ever going to assess a new beginning in life, you must reject some things and accept some things. You reject what the world has rejected and you accept what the world has accepted. For a woman, the decision to honor your husband is the beginning of a new lease of life in your family. You just see peace in your home. For a man, the decision for you to love your wife with passion, your home, things will just work out naturally. You just love her passionately. And before you know it, your home is like heaven on earth. I pray for somebody here today, grace to take the right decision, receive it in the name of Jesus. Grace to take the right decision, receive it in the name of Jesus. Every man of indecision or wrong decision is a failing man. Every woman that does not take the right decision is a failing woman, but you will never fail. Can I hear your loudest amen? I say you will never fail. Number two, essential for a new beginning that we'll be looking at tonight is courage. Only the courageous can start a new beginning. Only the brave dare something new. And only those that dare something new accomplish new feats in life. If you want to accomplish something new, if you want to accomplish something you have never done before, then you must do what you have never done before. Somebody very close to me was able to enter into a very major breakthrough earlier on this year. And I know that nothing happens by happenstance. I know that there's nothing called luck in life. I know it. So I called him to my office. You just broke through. Can you tell me what you did? He said, nothing actually. I said, no. I'm too experienced in this work to know that you don't just stumble on breakthrough. Tell me what you did. He said, okay, I will tell you. And when he told me what he did, I said, yes, it's true. God must answer you if you did that for real. Nothing happens by until you are ready to embrace courage. There is no way you can start a new beginning. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, when Moses was encouraging Joshua on his new assignment, on the new beginning, he said, be strong and of a good courage. For unto these people, look at that. Be strong and of a good courage. In verse 7 also, only be thou strong and very courageous. That is, this task you want to do, there's a vital requirement. This new beginning you desire, there's a vital requirement. This new step you are about to take, there's a vital requirement. You must be courageous. If you are not courageous, you can't get anything done. If you are not courageous, the Bible says, a fearful man, that is an uncourageous person, we say, there's a lion on the road. I can't go out at night. I can't go out at this time. This one. Only the courageous can be a person that can do well in life. It takes courage to start a new phase of life. It takes courage. I've met some men before that will tell me that. I'll say, why are you not able to get married? He said, I'm scared. I'm scared of what I'm hearing about women. As if his mother is not a woman. I've seen several. Who are you? I'm very scared. It takes courage to enter into the unknown. It takes courage for you to be able to do what you have never done before. It takes courage for you to accomplish what you have never accomplished before. A non-courageous person will go home empty-handed. A non-courageous person cannot get anything accomplished in life. Because life is a risk. Hello. Life is a risk. Life is a risk. Life is a risk. Only the courageous can get. Because many people will try to discourage you in life. Everything you want to do, people will tell you that somebody has done it before and has failed. They will not tell you the person that did it and excelled. They will only give you the example of those that did it and failed. Nobody will tell you this is the person that did it and excelled. That business you want to do. That woman, she did it and they attacked her. She died on the spot. Those are the kind of things they tell you. Nobody will tell you that somebody else did it and he excelled in it. And as from today, a new spirit of courage enters into you. A new spirit of courage enters into you. A new spirit of courage enters into you. This spirit will help you to dare what you have never dared before. This spirit will help you to do what you have never done before. This spirit will help you to go and be on the move. Do you know it is better to die going than to die seated? It is better to be on the move, doing what God sent you to do, and doing the task God wants you to do, than to be at a relaxed mood, or at a pause mode. For me, I like action. I like action. Maybe that's why I used to like action movies. I like action. Because if you are too this one, there's no way you can get something done. The new spirit of courage is baptized to everyone here today in the name of Jesus. Number three, essential that we bring about new beginning is discipline. Only the discipline can accomplish a new beginning. Only the discipline can be distinguished. A future or the future of a man or a woman is bleak without discipline. Discipline can also be called self-control. Once you don't have self-control, your life is out of control. If you can't control your appetite, you can't control your diet, you can't control your sexual appetite, you can't control your words. Bible says there's a person whose words is like the piercing of the sword. Everything that God has placed in your body must be under control. If you allow it to lose control, then you are finished. You know why we have armed robbers? Their hands are out of control. They can't control their hands from stealing somebody else's car or laptop or phones. Even in church, only the disciplined can have a new beginning. Only the disciplined can enjoy the best of life. Only the disciplined can read for an exam. If you are not disciplined, you can't read for an exam. Once you are reading, that is the exact time your phone will ring. Or that's the time that if a very nice program American, Nigerian magic or African magic, what do they call it? African magicians. They will begin to show one nice film. And you want to read for an exam that is just around the corner. The film you can watch later, which you can even go and buy. If you know the name of the film, you can buy it. You can download it later. Later! You now sit down with the film and film your exam away. There are some children, lack of discipline makes a child not to be able to sit down until the mother says, go and read. You know you have an exam, and then your parents have to be phoning. You are in university, your daddy is calling, hello, are you reading for this forthcoming exam? You are not serious. Hello, are you reading? Are you reading? Are you reading for this exam? Ah, why would they be asking that question? They are asking because they know that you are not serious. If you are disciplined, they should know that during that period yourself to talk to you is a problem. When I was dating my wife, I remember very well, in much into her finals or so. If I want to talk to her, or you cannot even see her face, that's just the problem. There's no, except for maybe she goes to church and all that. You can't, because this is what they call peak period. How many of us know what they call peak period? It's not a time of jagajantis elements all over the place. It's a time of discipline. A pastor that is not disciplined will fail. He will fail. Because they will bring jagajantis things to your office. And if you embrace jagajantis things, you are finished. Only the discipline has a future. Hello. If you are not disciplined, you are not going anywhere. The more you and I embrace discipline, the more we are distinguished. Now listen to this. To be disciplined means operating as demanded and not as convenient. What the time demands is how you operate, not as convenient. The time demands that you sleep only 4 hours because of what you are, what's coming. Then you operate like that. Operating as demanded and not as convenient. Some people, their phone is their major problem in this life. Because immediately they start praying, the phone must ring. And they must break the call. They must break the call to heaven to attend the call of earth. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. So as I'm teaching tonight, let these things be entering you so that there can be a change. Number four, essential for a new beginning is focus. Somebody say focus. In 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 39 to 40, the story there of an unfocused man, 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 39 to 40. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that without focus, there can be no new beginning in the life of a man or a woman. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, keep this man. An assignment was given to this man. Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life. Or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, that is, as this man was busy in an unfocused mode, left his assignment and was moving here and there, here and there, here and there, here and there, here and there. Let's go on with that verse. Thank you, Jesus. Here and there, he was gone. The assignment they gave to that person was undone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself has decided it. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Until we are ready to be focused, there can't be success in any area. A lot of people think that a particular business or career is better than another. It's a lie. There is success in every single business or career. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 22, Matthew 6 verse 22, Bible says, the light of the body is the eye. Say, if thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If you can be focused, then you will break forth into light. You will break forth into success. That's what the Bible is trying to say there. I've seen many, many people change from career to career, business to business, course to course, and still never become successful. Because they are not ready to do something in a focused way. Every lady that is here today, please don't marry an unfocused man. Because if you marry an unfocused man, Bible says an unstable man is what? A double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. Somebody who is unstable in business, in career, will be unstable also in marriage. That's why one of the things you need to ask a man when you want to marry him is, what is your future ambition? What is your vision? What are you planning to become? Because when you don't have a plan, nothing happens. A man must have a plan. A man must know, have a bearing. What's your plan? When you don't have focus, there's no way success can come. Because before success comes in a particular area, you have already moved to another area. Before God can say, oh yeah, let me bless you in that area, you have already moved to another area. I've seen examples of this very contentiously. People thinking that there's an escape route somewhere, or there's an easy way in a particular area, or there's an easy route. They say, this one must be very, very easy. You know, everything looks good from a far distance. Everything looks very, very easy from a very far distance. Everything looks very wonderful from a far distance. If you are in this church, for example, now, and you are still eyeing another church, maybe you are passing by and say, this church must be better than Impact House. I'm very, very sure their prayer and praise worship must be better than our own. I'm very, very sure everything about them must be. Is when you get there, you will know. There are some things there that are not here. There are some things here that are not there. Hello. It takes focus. It takes focus to enjoy success in life. Until a man is focused, nothing happens. No success can happen. All this moving from church to church, 1 6 months in one church, 1 year in one church, 9 months in another one, cannot pay a man. Because before the blessing comes, the person has already shifted. Your blessing will meet you where God has planted you. How many of us have ever seen a plant that grows very tall and they are moving the plant from one place to another? It was planted here, they uprooted it, they put it another place. Put it there for 6 months, they uprooted it again to another place. It can never bear fruits. In fact, it will die after some time. But when a plant is firmly rooted, rooted in God, and rooted where God has placed the person, per time, then you assess a new beginning. I pray to God for you tonight, that in this month, God will give you brand new focus. God will give you the grace to be more focused. Every spirit of distraction, especially for youths, people like you and I, serious distraction. You want to be here, you want to be there, you want to be here, you want to be there, you want to be almost a youth wants to be everywhere at the same time. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. What God has sent you to do is to be focused. And once you are focused in that area, in that business, in that career, it will bless you. I don't know what you do for a living. I don't know your career. I don't know what you are doing. But whatever it is, in that area of assignment, my God will bless you in it. In that area of your venture, my God will bless you in it. My God will bless you in it. I've worked for many years in the financial industry. I've discovered that there is no area of life where you can't succeed. I've seen people succeed in almost every facet of human endeavor. Almost. That's why you must discover yourself. You must discover what God sent you to do. If God sent you to sew clothes, sew it and be focused on it. Your style is in it. Your house is in it. Your cars are there. Your breakthrough is there. You will send children to university from there. Don't be jumping from one thing to another. It's a vital essential to become successful. Number what now? Number five. Essential for a new beginning is passion for God. Passion for God, or deep love for God. Your passion for God always makes you to enjoy a new beginning. One thing I've discovered about God is that God reciprocates. He reciprocates. How many of you know that when you are in a relationship and you see somebody who loves you so much, there is no way, even a man whose heart is very hard like stone, after some time you begin to reciprocate. Not to talk about God, who loves us so much. When you have passion for God, you have signed up for blessings in life. That's why the devil does everything to ensure that you and I are not passionate for God. Devil wants you to be very cold. That is, they cannot really say if you are a Christian or a Muslim. They cannot really say if you are a Christian or a pagan. You must be a person who is passionate for God. You must be a man or woman who is very passionate. Your heart must be full of love for God if you really want to get the best out of life. Matthew 6 verse 33, the Bible says we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to us. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, the Bible says thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That is, God wants us to love him with everything we have. He desires that on a continual basis, on a consistent basis, your heart is panting after him. My prayer for everyone here tonight is that from tonight, a new passion for God is deposited into your heart in Jesus' name. A new passion for God is deposited into your heart in Jesus' name. In Psalm 42 verse 1, it says, as the heart panted after the water brooks, so panted my soul after thee, O God. That's passion. As the heart looks for water so desperately, that's the way, that's what they call passion. Your passion for God gives you your place in life. Your passion for God gives you your portion in life. Everything you are looking for, God has it. Everything you need, God has it. And until you are passionate for God, there is no way you... Now, listen to me. I cannot see one of my friends that was less passionate for God that is better than me today. Not one. I cannot see it. I'm still searching. I can't find. Maybe I'll see the person inside the newspaper one day. I've not found it. That this person didn't love God at all. This person did not even do anything that involves God. And then I am pursuing God passionately. And then I say, oh, and I regret it. I even regret it so much. Look at this person that did not pursue God. His life is better. I have not seen any. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. God will never get you to the level whereby you'll be regretting pursuing him. It's not a prayer. It's not a prayer. He can never get you to the point whereby you will not say, oh, and I regret. Ah, oh, by being holy, and I regret it. I regret being holy in life. Ah, I regret I didn't steal money then. God won't get you to that level because he will give you money massively and beneficiously. Now, that one is a prayer. God won't ever allow you to regret your pursuit of him. That's why you must not be tired. Bible says that we should not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Bible says that God is not mocked, for whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 9. So if we are ready to pursue God, there is no way you will pursue God and you will not get blessed. That's why the devil tries every day of your life to discourage you from serving God. That's why the devil tries every day to make you feel as if God doesn't like you. It's a lie. Is to bring down your passion so that you don't have a position in life. But he has failed. I say he has failed. Look at a man like Daniel. Somebody doing very well, yet had passion for. People always think that only pastors have passion for God. Our passion for God did not start from pastoring. It's not about, maybe the passion made God to want to use us, maybe. But it's not from pastoring that it started from. Because there are some people that are even pastors, and their passion for God is lesser than members. Yes. We don't have such pastors in our ministry here. We don't have such pastors here. Look at a man like Daniel. Daniel was so passionate for God. Daniel was in government, yet he was addicted to God's presence. They said, we can't get this. There's no way we can get this man except in the area of the things of God. Daniel chapter 6. There's no way we can get this man. In Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, after they have said, anybody, Daniel 6:10, anybody that goes to pray to another God, we are going to kill him. Daniel said, not today. Bible says he opened his window. And now Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house and his window being opened. That's what they call passion for God. His window was open. That is what Daniel was saying here. Is that if you, like they say in my place, I shouldn't go into that tonight. Eh? Uh-huh. That if somebody remove his mat, God will put his rug. That's what Daniel was saying. Remove your mask. Let God give me a rug. Listen to me. There's nothing anybody can take away from you. As long as they don't take God away from you, you are still okay. That's why you must not leave God alone. Now go back to that verse. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his window being opened in his chamber towards Jerusalem. He knelt upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God before and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. That is, as he has been doing over time. As he has been doing consistently. May God give you the grace for consistency. I know you must have heard me say in the past that whatever you don't do continuously or consistently does not bless you permanently. Anything you don't do consistently does not bless you permanently. If your passion is not for God on a past permanent basis, there is no way you can get the best of God. May the grace for consistency in service come upon somebody here tonight in Jesus' name. A new passion, a new fire will come up into your heart in the name of Jesus. whereby your passion, you see, your passion for God does not make you serve God for salary or serve God for income or serve God for recognition. Your passion for God does, you look beyond all that. The breath you are drawing into your nostrils. If God were to charge us, can you imagine? I heard it's like 30,000 per day for oxygen. 30,000 per day times 30 days. How much is that? 900,000. Eh? For 1 month. So, times 6 months. What's that? Calculators? Eh? What's that? 9 times 6 now. 5.4 million. Oh, God. 5.4 million within 6 months. So, within the last 6 months, you'd have spent 5.4 million now. You know, I read the story of a man who was sick for some time and he died. And then they quickly put oxygen in his nostrils to resuscitate him. And then immediately he jacked back to life. He was happy. And then immediately the doctor brought the bill for the oxygen and put it in his hand. And he started crying. He started crying. And the man said, "Don't cry, don't die again. Oh, don't cry, oh, don't cry, oh, don't cry. Oh, it's oxygen we used to resuscitate you." And when he saw the massive bill, he told him, and then the man said, why are you crying? You are alive, why are you crying? He said, "I'm not crying because of this bill, I can pay it." He said, "I'm crying because you only resuscitated me for a few minutes. See the big bill you brought. How much more God has been that has been sustaining me all along? If he wants to charge me, how much will he take from me? That's why I'm crying." Your passion for God must be intense if you want the best from God. I have vowed before God that one thing that must not diminish in my life is his passion, is a passion for him. It's a vow that, "Father, give this fire burning. Keep this fire burning. Keep this fire burning." You will not be a man or a woman that they will say used to serve God yesterday. You know, there are some people like that. They say they used to serve God then. And some people even carry mic and say, "When I used to serve God." I've told you the story before some time ago. I was doing evangelism and I met a man. And the man told me, gave him handbill and was trying to talk to him. He said, "I was in Ilorin before. I was doing this. I was pastoring. I was doing this. I now asked him, simple question. So what are you doing now?" He said, I'm now in Ibadan. "Doing what?" And he said, just like scavenging or just going around. That's what I depicted. Somebody that was saying he was fervent before. I was fervent in the 80s. They know me. Don't you know my name? I said, "I don't know your name." God will give you more grace to be passionate. I said, "God will give you more grace to be passionate." Our fathers have been there since, and the fire is still there, and they are still passionate. God will make our own testimony better than that. God will make our own testimony better than that. Number 6, essential for a new beginning. I said number 1 is what? Run down quickly. Be decisive. Number 2, be courageous. Number 3, be disciplined. Number 4, be focused. Number 5, be passionate about God. Number 6 is be selective. In Proverbs 13 verse 20, Bible says, "He that walketh with the wise shall be wise, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed." If you want to be a successful person in life, you have to be selective. And who are you to select? You are to select those you walk with. According to Book of Psalms chapter 1 verse 1 to 3. If you are going to be successful in life, you must be a man that is selective. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but is delighted in the law of the Lord." Now, you must be selective. You must select wisely those that will be part of your new beginning. Listen to me. It is not wisdom to say, "I am a friend of everybody." 1 Corinthians 15:33. "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." It's a sign of foolishness that everybody is my friend. No. If everybody is your friend, you are a foolish man. Because you must select those that will be part of your new beginning. There are some people that want to be your friends by force and you reject. Because their friendship is cankerous. Their friendship is destructive. Their friendship is dangerous. It's poisonous. I mean, I can continue to use several words. Be selective. Be selective. Be love everybody, but be selective of those that are close to you. Those that are not going to the same place with you. cannot take part of your life. Those that every time they come near you, they drain you. You know, there are some people like that. If they come near you, if you even talk with them for just 10 minutes, you are drained spiritually. You feel empty. It's like you should go on 7 days fast. Why am I feeling so empty like this? But as people you talk to them small, you feel like going to read by like 30 chapters of the Bible immediately. There's some people you talk to them, immediately you talk to them, you feel like it looks like my fasting is not enough. I have to step up my game. There's some people you talk to them, immediately you talk to them, bad thoughts come to your mind. They tell you, no, go and test another. Your husband is not enough for you. Test another man. Try. You don't know anything. See, we see a lot of things and we hear a lot of things. That story I'm telling you, I've heard it. I heard it last month again. As in, I was talking to the person face to face like this. A married person. Say, go on. A woman. Say, all right. That AA, try as much as possible to ensure that you use it well so that you can separate yourself from those that want to destroy you. If you are not careful with what those you work with, they will ruin you. So be careful and ensure that you are a man or woman. That the Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except the... When we see your friend, we have seen you. Once we see your friend, we have seen you. There's no need for me to ask for you. I don't need to see you physically. Just tell me who your friend is. Who is close to you. Once I see the character of that person, I've known you. So simple. That's why, as husbands, we must work hard to ensure that our wife's character becomes better. Pray for her regularly. Work on her. As a wife, you must ensure your husband, because you and your husband, you are one and the same. That's why in ministry, when you want to do appointments of a man or a woman, you check the spouse, because there is no way your spouse will not have an effect on you. Watch those you work with closely. Watch those that you work with closely. Watch those that you communicate with. Watch those that you speak to regularly. Watch those that influence you. Watch those that... If I want to know you, I will just ask you three things. Tell me three people you respect. Just tell me three people you... Once you tell me three people you respect, is it number one, Michael Jackson? Number two, Obesiri. Number three, Celine Dion. What else? You have already told me who you respect. Oh, I ask you. Oh, God. Let's leave that. Be select. I have seen many people whose life were destroyed through this. Many. I have seen many people whose life were destroyed through lack of selection. Select carefully. If they come, you know when you throw something inside a net inside the ocean, you will gather all sorts of things. Then when it comes, you will now pick the fishes there. All the other remnants, you throw it back. That's the way you do with life. Some will come into your life, rush. Maybe you are a pretty lady. All sorts of guys are coming. All sorts of guys, tall, dark, handsome, big cheeks, small cheeks, rich, poor, rich, dark, and ugly. Everybody's coming. You know, when a lady is at her prime age, there's an age they call prime age for a young lady. At that age, guys rush like rainfall. Almost everywhere you go, you see people that are attracted to you. And this prime or this time in your life is a time where you shine your eye. If love is blind, well, the time you get married, your eye will open. You see, I didn't see it. When you get married, you quickly, sharp, your eye will open. That's why you must be careful. There are some people in my house, my security man knows. I've told him some people, if they come to the house, they must not enter inside the house. Not members of this church. If they come, they must not enter. They stay at the gate. They phone me. There's somebody like, because if they entered your house and they talk to you, they can ruin you. They are the ones that knows the area of the house where the arm robber can come and cut burglary. Oh God. May the Lord give us understanding. In my place, you know, there's some people when they visit you, almost immediately after they visit you, something evil must happen. Be watchful of those kind of people. Once they visit you, something evil must happen. In my place, they say, witch made noise yesterday. Child died today. Who did not know that it's the week? Shout hallelujah. Who did not know that it's the evil person will not enter your house? Evil person will not enter your house. I say evil person will not enter your house. May the Lord give us understanding. Number seven, essential, as I begin to round up gradually, essential to a new beginning is a life of gratitude, a life of appreciation. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. A life whereby you are always grateful. Never take God for granted so that you not be grounded in life. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Verse 2. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you did not lay it to heart. These people that they are talking about here did not steal. There was no issue of fornication. There was no issue of armed robbery or cheating in exam. Their problem was that they were ungrateful. Their heart did not say thank you to those that helped them. They felt like it was a right to receive help. And God said, because you behaved in an ungrateful manner, he said, I will curse those blessings. Your blessings will not be cursed in Jesus' name. Grateful people do not miss greatness in life. Grateful people never miss greatness in life. Grateful people never meet greatness in life. It's important to always give glory to God and to appreciate always his goodness upon your life on a daily basis. No wonder a man like David can be thanking God 7 times a day. Psalm 119 verse 164. 7 times a day he was into praises. A king always praising God. Always worshiping God. He will be doing something and he will pause and he will go back and praise God. He will be doing something and he will pause and he will go back and praise God. May God give you that kind of heart. There are some Christians only, they are praising God is only on Wednesday and Sunday. The only time they praise God since, and that Wednesday and Sunday self, during the worship time, they'll be looking like Luke said like this. If God has really blessed you, what he deserves from you is gratitude, is appreciation, is honor. If you really want to assess a new beginning, be grateful for everything he has done for you. Be grateful. Let your heart be grateful for everything he has done for you. Number eight is live in excitement. If you want to assess a new beginning, if you desire a new beginning, reject sadness, ensure that you are excited. Jealously guide your joy with passion. Jealously guide your joy with passion. Maintain excitement always. Don't allow anything to make you to be depressed so that you will not be oppressed. Number nine, where I'm going to stop tonight, is walk in the fear of God. If you want to really assess a new beginning, walk in the fear of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 13. That's the conclusion of the whole matter. Any man or woman that really wants to get the best of life must, Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Somebody say, fear God. Only those that fear God can assess new beginning. Because those that don't fear God, they will be cut short. Those that don't fear God, they will be cut off. May God grant unto you and I tonight a new baptism of the spirit of the fear of God. That is when you walk, when you talk, when you behave, everything you do, the fear of God shall be exhibited in your life and in your family. One of the greatest testimonies you can have in life is for people to say, she fears God. It's one of the greatest testimonies you can have in life. For people to see you and say, that guy, he fears God. The fear of God is so lacking now in our generation. The fear of God is so lacking. So lacking. But as from tonight, that spirit of the fear of God comes on everyone here tonight in the name of Jesus. And in all your conduct, in all your work, a new beginning is your portion in the name of Jesus. Having heard all this, it is time to rise up on our feet. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow, I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.